Columbus. You are tuned to WCRS 102.1 and 98.3, your low-power community radio station, and this is Cranksters, Columbus's premier bicycling radio showcase. I'm your host, Zach Hinkle, and on this Crankster today, this is the beginning of Season 2, everybody. One full season of Cranksters. Can you believe it?
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And our guest is Chuck Hoopman, cycling extraordinaire and Columbus courier. How are you doing today, Chuck?
I'm doing great. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, great. Your voice sounds very booming. I like it.
Yeah, I've always wanted to have a career in radio.
Well, here you go.
Baseball announcing, preferably.
Oh, all right. Well, it's that season. So, Chuck, just rode up here, you said. You had a little winded, you said. How was the ride here? Where'd you come from?
I came from downtown. I had a late day at work today. My clients had asked me to stick around for a last-minute filing and some deliveries at the end of the day. But we got it done and made the ride up High Street, which is pretty treacherous right now.
Yeah.
With our renovation up there near Hudson, it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think it's great for the neighborhood. Price of progress. I have to feel for the restaurants and businesses that are open during that construction. It's tough to do any business as a small business when there's no perceived area to walk in front of your door storefront. So
yeah, and you're talking, of course, the stretch between Lane and Arcadia.
Yeah,
for our listeners.
Yeah. I definitely urge everyone to use extra caution driving and especially cycling through there.
Yeah, I do too. Our East is good, and Neil too, a little bit further over the way. And the bike path too, if it gets even further out of the way. But they just recently, during the daytime, they've got a section between Woody Hayes and John Herrick Drive shut down. But during the evening, you can pass through. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, John. Chuck. Sorry.
I've been living in Columbus, moved down here from Mansfield, came down to go to OSU, and graduated from Ohio State in 96. I was kind of working a dead-end job in the business world and decided I wanted to do something that I didn't have a chance to do. Or, you know, I figured I kind of had an epiphany that life was short and I wanted to have a job that I'd love to do. So I asked a friend and got a job as a messenger downtown in 1998, and I've been doing it ever since. I'm in my 11th year. I started out working for a small company called Rainbow Express, and about 4 years into it, realized that I didn't need them and my clients didn't need Rainbow Express. So I broke my non-compete clause and went out on my own and started my own legal courier company called Cyclospace. And I handle three major law firms downtown and a couple nonprofits that I do deliveries for. And I have to say it's the most fulfilling job I have ever had and probably will ever have.
Excellent, excellent. It's the courier work, the messenger work. It's a mystery to a lot of people, even to myself, even though I know some couriers and I could probably do it myself. Tell us about it. What's all involved? What's the day involved? Step by step, please.
Well, it's a little slow in the morning. I come in to work, I have scheduled pickups throughout the day. Basically, I've contracted with those law firms, and I have 12 scheduled pickups throughout the day, three at each law firm where I show up, and they have hopefully a stack of work for me to do. And Columbus is kind of it's a white-collar courier town.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have a lot of people with dyed hair and punk rock tattoos, welcome that sort of thing. It's a pretty pretty white collar courier town because it's a legal based courier work. It's some point to point packages, A to B delivery, but a lot of it is legal based work, and where she works very closely with attorneys, judges, bailiffs, secretaries, different organizations, state agencies, Secretary of State, Common Pleas Court. Different levels of the court system. So it's kind of also the thinking man's courier town. We talk about it a lot. It's you have to carry yourself very well, and kind of your audience that you're working with and you're serving, you have to be able to talk on their level.
So yeah.
It's not something where, say, if something where you get screwed up and you're talking with a judge, you just can't be like,
where was my subpoena?
Yeah, you have to be able to carry yourself in a professional manner. And we have a lot of guys downtown, almost everyone that I can think of carries them that way, and everyone that's been successful acts on a very professional level. And I've been fortunate to share a workspace downtown with the guys. Some of my best friends in the community surrounding the messenger industry is a very close-knit, tight one.
Excellent, excellent. So these, I'm assuming these packages, they're already prearranged, sort of like a set-out contract that you have with these places. You said point-to-point, you don't do a lot of that. What is that, more random?
Yeah, I this is to... Deliveries only account for about 20% of my business. Most of it is round trips, bank deposits, legal filings, getting signatures on documents, and I have some strange requests every once in a while, but I typically don't do food. So,
all right. You mentioned when you walked in the studio here that you've seen a decline in the business.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Sure. Unfortunately, let's start over. So I'm an environmentalist, so there are some positive side effects to the decline of the courier industry, and that is that less paper is being used. You had the fax machine in the 80s and the email in the 90s, and most recently the proliferation of scanning documents. And what has been the worst thing to happen to the industry is the electronic signature. For example, federal district court and U.S. bankruptcy court in downtown Columbus in the last 2 years have gone to a system where you can file documents online using electronic signature, which eliminates the need to have a messenger run over to the court, wait, file the documents, and return them to where you got them. So that is really cutting into the courier business. I'm down about 20%. So are the rest of the guys I share office space with downtown, and it'll probably be another 20% next year. And I figure I have about 3 good years left, 2 okay years, and then I'll have to transition into something else to make it profitable.
Do you think this is a Columbus epidemic, or maybe more severe in Columbus than maybe other cities where more physical things are being moved around? Food, textiles,
sure.
Samples of things.
Yeah, certainly. We do have kind of our eggs in one basket here with the legal courier business, and as that is dissipating, we will have to transition in to something else. However, it is a nationwide problem right now. A lot of couriers in San Francisco are out of work. There was a story on NPR a couple weeks ago about the disappearance of bike messengers in other cities. And, if you go to a bike messenger race, the North Americans or the Worlds now, it's mainly fashion riders, and there's not that many messengers that are even doing it anymore. There's just a, when I first started working downtown, I was the 12th employee for Rainbow Express. I think they have 2 or 3 guys now. Granted, some of us went on our own and took some business, but and there were probably 25 messengers, working messengers, including in-house messengers, which are messengers that work or contracted specifically for a law firm, and they only do work for a law firm. And now we're down to about 15, and probably down to 12 next year. So it's definitely on the decline.
Yeah, and would you say that the average messenger's 8-hour day is chock full of activity, or is there a lot of
not anymore? I definitely have my days where I wake up and it's go, and I don't get lunch, and those days are definitely getting fewer and far between. I typically have an hour for lunch, and I'm able to get a coffee later in the day. I welcome the days where I'm really busy. It goes by really fast, but I was also fortunate that I work with some of my best friends. So the nice thing about being a messenger, and the thing that was very attractive to me and attractive to a lot of people, is when you get paid by the run. So when you don't have a run to do, you're free to do whatever you want, which is go get coffee, hang out with friends. So it makes it really nice.
All right. Is there a seasonal fluctuations with the amount of work? Do you get more in the winter or less in summer, anything like that?
Yeah, certainly. Since we're based around all the attorneys that I do work for downtown, typically in the summer, they're all on vacation with their kids. So summer is our slow time. And then in the winter, unfortunately, when the weather is the worst, is our busiest time. So we, you know, it definitely picks up. It's nice. It's nice. I mean, you can't be super busy all the time or you'd burn yourself out, but it's definitely slower in the summer.
Yeah. What's your range? I mean, you say downtown, but is it? I almost think it's less than downtown, but am I wrong?
No, it's a little bit more. I have deliveries up into the Short North, which technically Short North would be considered downtown in any other major city, given its proximity to downtown. But Short North, I head over to Franklinton, out as far east at pretty much the conservatory every once in a while. And in German Village, South German Village, Marion Village. I don't do a whole lot of work west, like I said, but pretty much everything in the 43215 zip and then some stuff north and south. So,
all right, that's pretty interesting. I thought it was sort of confined to the CBD there.
No, I mean, some days I feel like I could do it with a skateboard. I don't have to go very far. It's a lot of days I do enjoy the work where I get to stretch it out a little bit if I've got time to do it.
Yeah. What's the cost of these kind of services, if I may ask?
Sure. The run rates range anywhere from downtown, depends on what company you have doing the work, from $3 for a basic standard delivery is what you would call it, and then you'd have a rush or a hot rush or super, depending on the terminology of the company. So usually three different rates. You know, get it there now, get it there within an hour, and just get it there sometime today. Starts at $3. It goes anywhere to 15, 16 for a delivery. And then on the round trips, given the sensitive nature of them, they can be a little more expensive, and you add wait time, and you have to try to kind of charge for everything you do as an add-on. If you got to make a phone call, that's an extra $2. If you have to drop a copy off to a judge's chambers, that's an extra $2. We do things where we drop off signatures to get judges' signatures on documents, and we'll follow up on those daily, and we charge to check on them. So you kind of have to add-on services, and you have to charge for those, certainly.
Right. What's some of the funnier things that you maybe careered, or strange or odd things?
I've had to do a few silly things. One time this law firm was too cheap to hire professional movers to move this guy from 366 East Broad to 41 South High. So they paid me every day to come get two times a day as much as I could carry in my messenger bag for three straight weeks, file boxes, and the last thing I was carrying was a garden hose and some brass sailboats. So I don't get a whole lot of strange requests anymore. I kind of welcome them. You know, every once in a while someone will leave a briefcase or a trench coat at a restaurant, and I'll have to go get it. But one of my coworkers, Matt Steineke, back in the day, had to pick up a judge's robe, I remember, and I saw him riding down High Street with it. He wore it to the client, so he didn't get it wrinkled.
Easiest way to move clothes is to wear them.
That's right. That is right.
Like, I see cyclists, they'll have their helmets hanging on their bike handlebars. I don't understand that. Why don't you just wear it?
I don't think any messengers. There's only two messengers that I can think of right now that don't wear helmets. I showed up my first day with a helmet on, and I've never looked back. I think it's, there's just not enough people looking out for cyclists. I always tell people it's not you, it's the people that don't see you on the road. I've gotten to what now where I just feel totally naked without it. It's kind of like driving without your seatbelt. There's a couple guys downtown that don't wear helmets, but most of them do, and a lot of the younger guys coming up are starting to wear helmets, which is good to see. So
yeah, I love helmets. I love my helmet.
Yeah, they've made a lot of improvements in them too. So they're not as hot and stuffy, and they're pretty fashionable. So
I don't necessarily think it's always a car that's going to make you wreck. The worst wrecks I've had were on ice and hit a curb at going too fast on a curve.
Certainly. And one of the problems downtown certainly is jaywalkers. I've been hit just as many times from people not looking, trying to dart from bus stop to bus stop as I have from cars.
Yeah, or other cyclists. Yep. Oh, we're going to take a short break here, and we'll return with Chuck Hoopman.
All right.
Thank you.
back on Cranksters here on WCRS 102.1 and 98.3. Low Power FM Columbus, your community radio station. It's volunteer-run, listener-supported, non-commercial community radio station for Central Ohio with an eclectic mix of music and engaging public affairs programming. We've got two bike ride announcements that some Cranksters listeners submitted me to this week to Towns. First up is the WAD, Westerville to Arena District Bikeway Association, third Thursday rides. These are commuter bike rides on the third Thursdays of each month. Go to wadbikeway.com for a map and detailed info. And the next ride is October 16th. It starts in Westerville at 6 a.m., arrives at Nationwide Arena at 7:30, and you can join along the route. And for that route information, go to wadbikeway.com. Starts at Schrock Road and Route 3 in Westerville Plaza. Schrock to Olin Hangi Trail and down the 18-mile route. Pickup points at Antrim Lake, Westone Park, and others. Showers available at World Gym on Long Street. Different routes planned each month. Go to website wadbikeway.com and support the Wad Bikeway. It's a great idea. And another ride just submitted me today. Critical Manners Ride, led by Consider Biking, on October 7th, 5:30 p.m. at the McKinley Monument, the State House. October 7th, 5:30 at the State House, same place as the Critical Mass meetup point. It's a relaxed, friendly ride, open to all, no drop. Ride, go to considerbiking.org to find out more. And we are back with our Cranksters guest, Chuck Hootman, of Cyclospace, and a Columbus resident. And Chuck, you say you lead some tours, organize some tours. Tell us about it.
Well, I used to, I kind of cut my teeth in the messenger world, throwing messenger races, Midwest Alley Cast jumping ships. I threw for 3 years in downtown Columbus, and was, you know, I kind of picked it up from a friend and turned it into one of the most successful alley cats in the region. And after that, I transitioned into doing more bike tours. I done Tosser a handful of times, do a ride outside of Bloomington, Indiana called the Hilly 100. It's coming up in a few weeks. It's a beautiful ride. And it kind of inspired me to do my own tour. So every 2 years, do a ride called the Hootman 100. And it's me and 16 to 20 close friends. We ride from my house on Hunter Avenue up to my parents' house in Mansfield, kind of wind up through the Malabar Farm region. It's a beautiful ride. Get there and take a swim in a lake and drink a keg of beer. So
sounds wonderful.
It's the only way to finish a ride.
Yeah, that's. I remember I rode from here to Olympia, Washington, and it took me 36 days. And I got to my uncle's house, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Give me a beer." And then I ate four pizzas.
Yeah.
So
worked up quite an appetite.
He wouldn't let me sit on the sofa until I took a shower.
Yeah, I have a dream. I mean, I do aspire to. I do aspire to do some longer tours. My girlfriend Sally and I would like to do the West Coast sometime. I think I kind of have a pipe dream of cycling across the country. It's just right now it's tough to block out the time to take on a 3 month ride.
It's definitely not a vacation.
Yeah.
But I'd still highly recommend it. I forgot what I was going to ask you.
About my bikes?
Oh, yeah, about your bikes. What kind of bikes you got?
Well, I've gone through many bikes in my messenger career. Right now I have the best bike that I've ever ridden and probably will ever ride, and it's a Motherwell, and it was welded by my girlfriend Sally McLeod in Columbus, and it's a titanium road frame. And I've got a Campy chorus kit on it. Super lightweight bike, no paint on it, which is great for messenger work because you don't scratch it up because you lock it up about 60 times a day. You know, I don't do the fixed gear anymore. I did that for about 2 years, and all I can say is that's the quickest way to bad knees, is to ride a fixed gear bike without brakes. It was fun for a while, but I realized I was in this for the long haul and I needed to take better care of my knees. So I don't have any ill feelings for anyone doing it. I just kind of did my time on the fixed gear, and I like the gears are a lot faster and more comfortable for me now. So
that's for sure. You mentioned previously you started up the jumping ships here. Do you have any clue as why that didn't happen this past summer?
Sure. Actually, I did start it up. The guy I had mentioned earlier in the broadcast, Matt Steineke, started up that race, and I kind of carried the torch for him for a couple years after he had put his time in. And then a couple more people on Messengers carried it on for a couple more years. It didn't happen this year. I think there's a growing consensus that we were kind of on borrowed time as far as someone getting severely injured in the race.
Mm-hmm.
It had gotten so popular, we were having 100, 120 people come out. There is a growing yeah. cyclist population in Columbus.
It was growing some regional attraction too from some other cities.
Yeah, yeah. We were getting people from San Francisco, Portland, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Dayton, East Coast, Boston Messengers. Largely the participants were all local riders, maybe riders new to the cycling scene. And I just think the people that were continuing to throw it on, because it takes about 3 months of solid planning to get the sponsorship and everything to do it properly. And I think they were just concerned that they didn't want to have someone get seriously injured or killed in their race. So I think the liability had just... And there also has been an increase of the other messenger style races being thrown in Columbus by non-messengers mm-hmm. that kind of fill the void for messenger races. So although I know that the jumping ship is missed, however, there seem to be plenty of courier races going on around town.
Oh, thanks. It's a good mm-hmm. explanation. Best explanation I've heard. can we get back in? What kind of bike you're riding right now exactly?
It's that Motherwell that's welded for me.
I thought that was another one.
No, and I have I have two. I have a foul weather bike. It's kind of in parts in my garage right now. Most messengers will have two or three bikes that they ride downtown. A nice road bike for nice sunny days. Maybe a beater road bike, and then everyone calls it their foul weather bike, which would be, I have a single speed IRO with front and rear fenders and mm-hmm. Cages on it. And that's what I break out for the rainy and snowy days.
We're going to move a little bit to another area. What do you think of some of the recent policies and things pushed by the city recently mm-hmm. for a cycling community? Do you think that it's a great move forward? Do you think it's just political speech? Tell us your thoughts.
Sure. I'm a big fan of Councilwoman Mary Ellen O'Shaughnessy. I think she really puts her money where her mouth is. I see her show up at speaking engagements and kick off her cycling shoes and put on her work shoes, and she really walks the talk. And she's been instrumental in getting some cycling policies, and we have a lot of bike racks around town that I've never seen before that are definitely taking over. I love the bike trails, the bike paths are great. I don't use them that often because those are more for leisurely rides, and I'm usually trying to get somewhere on my bike. But I think Columbus is really they're really starting to get it as far as creating a cycling community, an area, a city that people can be excited about riding their bike in, and trying to make it safer and educate people.
Have you ever thought though that for every maybe pro or bike friendly project they do, they're still doing another 20, that aren't?
Yeah, I think that there are still a lot of roads that are being planned in Columbus that they don't bring the cycling community to the table on to discuss bike lanes and the like. So I'm there are still a lot of gaps to fill.
All right, excellent. I just saw on a picture today on considerbiking.com, they put in the markers for the Milton Bikeway Boulevard. Mm-hmm. The big fat painted
that's a great idea.
Biking cartoon.
Yeah.
What do you call that? Logo?
Yeah.
Stencil. Yep. So go up and check that out. Well, folks, I think we're going to wrap up our interview here on Cranksters with Chuck Hoopman. Any final last words?
Thanks a lot, Zach. Been a pleasure. And you can just invite everyone to come down and see me at Tip Top.
All right. Thank you very much, Chuck, for coming on the show. And once again, go to wadbikeway.com for information on the third Thursday rides. Next ride is October 16th. And considerbiking.org for the Critical Manners ride. It's been a pleasure being your host. I'm Zach Hinkle. Leave you out with the tunes of Columbus native Raven. Have a good weekend.